Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes 7 strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. This is my destiny. Welcome to the R7 Christian podcast, man. Today, I mean, I don't know how I'm doing this, but I get these awesome guests. And today I have an incredible woman of God who's been in the wilderness, been in it and out of it. She's a Christian entrepreneur and kingdom leader. And I'm just so excited. She's helped, gosh, I don't even know, Rachel, how many different business owners, Christian men and women of God have you had that you've helped over the years just with leadership? I mean, welcome to the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. leadership specifically, that's a great question. But in general, we've had over 10,000 students go through our online programs, which has been really fun and an honor.
That's incredible. Tell me about 2023. You the Lord told you to pray in your closet, and like what's going on there? What happened in 2023?
So let me kind of back up a little bit. So okay. I was running this successful business by any means, a 7-figure business. I was working 10 to 20 hours a week, and I we can get into my healing journey if you want to, but I was praying and fasting for healing for a 17-year injury that I had. And stumbled upon this man, Dr. Randy Clark, and his ministry, Global Awakening. And I never heard of him before, but I'm like, people are getting healed in that video. I need to get healed. I'm going to go to one of their events. So I go to a Global Awakening event, and I didn't get healed at that event, but I had an encounter with the Lord that wrecked me. Like I came back and I was just different. Like my husband sat me down. We've been married, you know, 15 years. And he's like, what happened to you? Like, you're different. And the Lord just started revealing to me all these things in my life that had to change or shift, that needed to be consecrated. And I had this moment where I was in my prayer closet right back there. You can't see it, but it's right there. And I was praying about this program called Activate that we were running within our business. And this was basically like the revenue generator of our business. And as I was sitting there, just sitting there praying, the Lord just goes, I'm not in it. Shut it down. I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? This is actually like making us a lot of money, helping people too. And so I sat on it for about a week. I sought godly counsel, and then I made the decision, we're going to shut this thing down. What I didn't realize at the time is that the entire business model did not make sense without that program. So over the course of the next several months, the entire 7-figure business came down with it. And this, at this point, I am seeking the Lord and just having encounter after encounter with him. And I go to another one of those Global Awakening events, and this person comes up to me and goes, the Lord's having you lay things down in the season, and he's having you lay them down because you built it in your own strength. It was you and not him. He's going to rebuild it, but it's going to be him and not you. So be patient. And so there's a lot of just sitting there being patient and then calling out to the Lord, like, Lord, I know you've called me to build something. Can I go and build it? And I would just hear, wait. Like, it's not the time yet. Wait. And then I'd have people come and prophesy over me, like, the Lord just says, wait, I don't know what this means. And I'm like, I know what it means. So it's like the Lord would speak to me, and then he would just send people to confirm what he said in his goodness, because I was still like new to hearing the voice of God. And yeah, so that was 2023. And it opened up space to be able to attend ministry school. So I just actually graduated from the Global School of Supernatural Ministry, my 3rd year. It opened up space to homeschool my son, which I probably wouldn't have done before. And it allowed me to see so many miracles, like crazy stuff, and just see God move. And I learned a lot. So the Lord also showed me, like, hey, this is how business is supposed to be done. This is how the world does it. And so it wasn't until after I shut it down that I could actually see clearly that there were some new age influences that had crept into that program, crept into the business that I had learned and then had taught to other people. And I didn't, it was like all of a sudden after I made the decision to shut it down, like I had eyes that could see clearly. And I was like, wow. Lord, forgive me. I had no idea. And then I just saw it everywhere of basically almost all of the like coaches out there, personal development speakers, all of it was based in New Age. And I'm like, all right, well, what does this look like biblically? Like, how do we actually build a business on a biblical foundation? And so that's what the past 3 years have been.
Wow. All right. So we're going to just back up and unpack some of this. This is really good. You know, I want to get to today. I want to talk about these toxic motivators and fear, lust, anger, pride. But I too had a God encounter in 2009 and I believe in 2001. And I've tried to like organize that and really kind of like bring it back to a place where I could understand it. I think over the years with Em Is Good, I've brought in this terminology called obligatory religious phraseology. And so like as Christians, we talk about prophecy and the word of the God, you know, hearing the voice of the Lord. And I think it weirds people out on like, what in the world are they talking about over there?
I think it depends on how you were raised. And so the thing, my background is I was raised Lutheran and I had never seen anyone get healed in my entire life. And I had no idea God still spoke to us. I had no idea God still healed. And it wasn't until I went to that conference and I experienced it and I saw it with my own eyes. And then the Lord started to use me in that way. And I was like, wow, how would I have been missing this? Like my entire life.
I feel like, you know, for me, it's very much oil and water. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, the Bible is very, I mean, I just look at it as the Bible is very true. It's very accurate. And I don't challenge like the history of it. I just go, okay, this is what the Bible says. I'm just going to kind of do this, right? And I think when you really get that in your, and I'm trying to unweird this a little bit, you know, and so maybe you could help me out a little bit. So like when you read it and you go, okay, like integrity, I'll just give an example, like integrity. Like I want to have like integrity in my life, whether people are seeing me or not. Mm-hmm. And I'm just using this as an example, but it's true too. So, you know, if I have integrity, you know, that to me is a biblical principle of integrity. And so if it's oil and water, it's like, okay, I was doing things that didn't show integrity. I don't want to do that anymore. And then I think we as Christians go, I want to walk with the Lord and use this obligatory religious phraseology to kind of, you know, to kind of bring it home of I'm following the Lord now, where it really you're just following a core set of beliefs that are based on the Bible. Mm-hmm. Did I explain that okay?
I think so.
Yeah. So when you say like, oh, I heard from the Lord.
Yeah.
Like what, break that down for us. Like, what does that mean for those that don't have like that Christian background or that background that's, you know, well, maybe it's
past, like 3 years in ministry school. Like that's what they were teaching us. Like, how do you actually God? What does that look like? So it could be like a completely spontaneous random thought is an example. So a lot of times our thoughts are more analytical in nature and it could be a complete, because a lot of times when people think like I heard from God, it's like the audible voice of God.
Right,
and
right.
More often than not, it's not that.
It's not. It wasn't for me either. That's a great point. Yeah.
Small whisper that it's really easy to miss if you're not actually paying attention and if you're distracted. And so in that moment, it was the thought, I'm not in this, shut it down. And I know I'm like, well, that's not my thought because like, why would I want to shut down the thing that's actually working? That's producing genuine revenue for us. So I'm like, well, that's gotta be God because it doesn't make sense. That's the other thing. I kind of joke of like, if it doesn't make a lot of sense, it's usually God. Do you want me to give it like a healing example?
Yeah, do it.
So I was in Brazil and I was praying for this woman who was deaf. And as we're praying for her, I have this spontaneous thought, but now I know I was like, that was the Lord, of this woman needs to sing. And I'm like, well, that's not part of the 5-step healing model that I learned from Dr. Randy Clark in school. But Dr. Clark also has shared weird examples of how the Holy Spirit will ask us to do something. And we just like, we're working with the Holy Spirit at that point. And so I'm like, okay, I think this woman needs to sing. And so this woman starts to sing, and then the power of God hits her and she falls to the ground. Mm. And she's on the ground for a couple minutes. And after a couple minutes, she sits up and she can hear. Wow. And so we just asked her like what happened and everything. And she explained to us that she used to sing worship at her church. And she got a disease that took her voice and her hearing at the same time. And the Lord restored both of those things. And so a lot of times it doesn't make sense. And like an example of this is when Jesus is healing a blind man, he like spits, gets some mud together and puts it on his eyes. He could have just been like, be healed, but he chooses to do it that way. You know, so sometimes it doesn't make sense. And usually I joke that if it doesn't make sense, it's probably the Lord.
Yeah.
More often than not, that's how it works.
No, that's a great explanation of like, you know, it being very healthy and productive. I've mm-hmm. been in situations before where like, you know, a friend says, hey, like I've been married for 20 some years and I just had this spontaneous thought where like, maybe I made a mistake. This isn't my wife. So like I went on this online dating program.
Yeah.
And a dating app or whatever. And, I started seeing this girl.
Well, that's not the Lord. Cause if it doesn't line up with the word of God, that's yeah.
That's my point is like, if you have the spontaneous thought, it's got to line up with the word of God. Yeah.
The word of God.
Yeah.
If it's not in the nature of God, like divorce your wife or something like that, that wasn't the Lord.
Right. And so this is where I think we have to have checks and balances and mentors and be able to read the Bible, think and pray on. Now, obviously you were able to discern pretty quickly that singing is, you know, it's not that big of a stretch, you know, but doing these bigger acts of like, okay, I'm going to go.
Like you, it has to line up with the word of God and you have godly counsel. So another example is like, we have a farm here with horses and stuff. And we got, my husband and I are kind of going back and forth. Like, do we sell the farm? Do we keep the farm? And then we get this offer out of the blue without it even being listed, like a good offer as is cash. And I'm praying on it. And I just feel like the Lord is saying, keep it, don't sell it. Mm. I'm like, well, are you sure? Like, that's not, we can make a lot of money with this. And so then I bring that, like what I heard from the Lord to one of our pastors at our church. And he goes, keep it. And he's like seeing it prophetically of like, there's things coming, you need to keep this. Mm. And so when you hear something from the Lord, if you're not sure, one, what does it say in the word of God? To seek godly counsel.
Seek godly counsel. Yeah, that's so important because I think sometimes we have these spontaneous thoughts that like, whew, you know? Yeah. And I think that's comforting. You know, that's comforting to say, okay, I need to read, I need to pray, I need to ask some other Christian mentors. Yeah. Is this going to be healthy for all parties?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is it going to be demonstrative? And so I think with those checks and balances in there, you know, I'm kind of like I got hit with both a prophecy in 2009 mm-hmm. And I sat on it for a year.
Wow.
For 1 year. And I finally came to the conclusion and I said, you know, cause I did the mentors, I did the praying, it came back, again, I'll make that second point, but I just sat on it and I thought, you know what? I can deny this or I can accept it. And I said, you know, I'm going to accept it. This is pretty cool. Like this is going to help everybody around. And I went for it and it worked out, which is now our R7 process that we have. Yeah. But I also feel like, and I love your feedback on this. I also feel like if it needs to be done immediately, like immediately,
mm-hmm.
it's usually not the Lord. Like if it's baked in prayer, did I break up there?
No, I'm just thinking.
Yeah. Like if it has to be done like immediate and you're in isolation and it's mm-hmm. got to be done now and there's only one solution, I just don't think that's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's multiple options. I think when you're in counsel and you're in prayer, go ahead.
Yeah. I think it depends on the situation. So. Okay. Like I'll give you an example of, so there was one of the speakers at a global conference and he shared how the Lord was telling him to stop and invite this one person to come to the conference. And he was like talking with the Lord, like, well, you want me to stop? What's going on? And the Lord goes, I already asked 20 people. And none of them stopped because they were like too busy running to go to this conference to learn about God that they didn't want to actually stop and be the hands and feet of Jesus for this one person and invite him to the conference. So in that instance, it was more of like an immediate, hey, the Lord's speaking to you now in this moment. But if it's more of like a decision that could change your future, that could, like what you're saying, it could be slower, more intentional. And it could be one of those things where you're like, Lord, if this is you, can you confirm it?
Yeah. I'm thinking of like, you need to run across a busy highway right now and I'll clear all the cars. No, I don't need to do that right now. And I'm not going to step on a faith on that, but if the idea is for me to get across the street, I can do that, you know, or you need to go knock on this door. If nobody's home, go take something inside. Like, no, I don't think that's from the Lord. You know, these immediate, or, you know, need to go to this porn site and look at this girl because she's got a word for, you know, like, no. Like,
I'll give another example. This guy, Brian, he was like just coming home from a mission trip. It was late. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And the Lord goes, go downstairs to the bar across the street. And he's like, well, I'm tired. I don't want to go, but he's obedient. And he goes and he has this encounter with these men and they get completely healed and they give their lives to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that didn't necessarily make sense in the natural, but God had an encounter that he wanted to do with those people at that moment.
Yeah. So I definitely think you're spot on. It's circumstantial.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cause you're talking about like a very benign, you know,
right. Like, yeah. It's not like I go down and there's nobody there. Like, okay. Or if like the Lord asked me to reach out to somebody and pray for them and I'm wrong. It's not like, oh, they got blessed because I prayed for them. I was wrong.
Exactly.
Like, I thought I hurt, you know, it's not like a life changing.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a great transition. And I'm glad you brought that up into kind of what we wanted. The topic of today is really just the toxic motivators of how the adversary uses some pretty popular toxic motivators to distract us. And, you know, I feel like a lot of times we have a vision of where we want to go and sometimes that gets muddied and with distraction. And so over the years I've identified, with the Lord's help, of course, toxic motivators of fear, lust, anger, pride. And I would love for you to talk about one or all these in your journey. You know, we talked, you know, in the pre-show about some examples that you may have that stick out where, you know, fear, lust, or anger, pride have inhibited you from the Lord's plan.
Yeah, I think a lot of people experience fear of the calling that God has for them, because sometimes they might be thinking like, who am I to do this? God might be calling them to do something that's maybe outside of their natural capabilities. Mm-hmm. And so they might have self-doubt or they might have some fear of man. I taught on this in England a couple months ago of like myself, of not feeling that like, who am I? I can't do public speaking. Like, I can't speak on stages. And of course the Lord's like, here, you need to go speak on these stages. And I'm like, it's just like all these opportunities were opening up for me to do that. And then to actually teach on like how to pray for healing, or I was in Cuba last year. And so we're there and the pastor goes, hey, Rachel, I want you to lead the impartation service tonight. And I'm just thinking, who, me? Like, I've seen Dr. Randy Clark do that before, but I've never done it before. And I don't feel confident doing that at all. I've never like put together none of it. Like, I've never done it. And so I'm like, is it too late for me to leave? Like, can I get a plane ride home? And I'm like, Lord, I'll do it, but it's got to be you and not me, because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And so I prepared as much as I could. I like watched one of Randy's videos to like refresh my memory of how he did it. I took notes. I wrote like, all right, this is what I need to do. And then I was just like, Lord, I prepared. Now it's got to be you and not me. And so I ended up doing this impartation service twice. Once we were with these formerly incarcerated men in Florida. So it was like a rehabilitation facility. And so I pray at the end of the impartation service. And it was like the Holy Spirit just dropped a bomb in that place. Like, I start laying hands on big men with like tattoos on their face, and one by one they're falling over, they're encountering the Lord, they're weeping, and I'm just thinking, wow, like that wasn't me, that was you, you know. But yeah. He needs willing people. He needs people to say, yes, I'll do it, because there's something that he wants to accomplish on the earth here, and he just needs people to say, I'll do it, even if I don't know how.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do think too, there's kind of sort of two levels of fear. Mm-hmm. There's like the self-preservation fear, yeah, where like you're standing on a tall building and like, you know, your whole body says, this is not a good idea if you jump, you know, that's a good fear.
Yeah.
But then there's the other side of the fear where, you know, like I'm just kind of geek out here, but the amygdala gets flooded with mm-hmm. just stress and anxiety, and it mm-hmm. cripples you to the point where like you can't think straight.
Yep.
And you know, you have the thinking anxiety where you're just in your head and you're not clear, but then you have the cognitive anxiety and the somatic anxiety, where the somatic anxiety is where like you're sweaty mm-hmm. and you know your heart rate is up and you just like your body can't, you're, you can't function, you know, this is that crippling fear that like you can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's important to identify both those types of fears mm-hmm. and say, okay, I can overcome this. I can breathe through this fear. I'm sweating right now. My heart rate's up. I can, you know, if I'm going into a speaking engagement, it's probably not a good idea for me to drink 300 milligrams of caffeine an hour before.
Probably not.
you know, you want to bring your heart rate down. You don't want to increase your heart rate. Yeah. And so, you know, there's just some things we can do there, and then just lean on Lord. Like I look at what your example there, and I think that's probably a pretty good fear, because you were just like, you know, you wanted to prepare and you yeah. wanted to be thoughtful and you wanted to put on a good message, you know, and that prepared you for the success that you had.
Yeah. It was the Lord. Yeah. It was all the Lord.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so, you know, when we talk about lust, you know, I've been very open about like, you know, there's different sides of lust where like, you know, there's the pornography lust, which thank God I never really had a problem with pornography and just never really got into it. It just escaped me. Thank God. And I know a lot of people struggle with that, and that inhibits them from their vision moving forward. For me, it was more on the people, power, possessions, title sort of lust that I've learned to overcome. And by the way, these toxic motivators or fear, lust, anger, pride, most of us struggle with at least two of these every single day. Mm-hmm. This is very much like stress. You don't get rid of it, you manage it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think you had an example of a lust example where, you know, yeah.
Okay. So like as my business grew, we were making more money that like never made before in my entire life. And then I'm in like the fancier masterminds of the $1 million plus business owner and just seeing like, oh, look at all these things like the people have. And so of course, like you create a vision board and you're like trying to get all these nice things. And so I had on my vision board, like the Chanel purse. I'm like, I really want this cherry red Chanel purse. This is beautiful. It is perfect. And so I set a goal for myself in my business and got myself that purse. And I also got myself a Chanel wallet. Like it was like the whole thing of like, go to the store and get dressed up and get yourself that $1,000 wallet. I'm like, what was I thinking? So dumb. Anyways, so I'm going out to breakfast with my son, and we walk out of breakfast and there's a woman right across the street that's sitting on the ground and looks like she's homeless. And she's just sitting there all by herself. And so I go up to her and I ask her if I can sit down with her. And we start talking. Her name's Lisa. And she ends up telling me her story of how her boyfriend was abusing her. And so she had to flee New York to come to Florida and didn't really have anything. And she asks for $5 for this medication that she needed. And I'm like, of course. So I go into my bag and I grab my Chanel wallet. And the feeling like I wanted to have when I grabbed that wallet is like, oh, I want to feel like affluent and like wealthy. And then when I grabbed it, I just felt so convicted of like, dude, why you needed something so extravagant. Like you did not at all. And so it was just that moment the Lord convicted me, and I ended up giving away the purse to my daughter's school.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. The antidote to lust is giving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Giving breaks it.
Yeah. I've seen that.
And yeah, that's awesome. You know, I think too, like, we get confused on, you know, money being the root of all evil. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think it's really the Chanel purse. It was the lust for it.
Exactly. I think it would be fine to have a Chanel purse. If yeah. It's just, it's no big deal. But for me, like, it was a big deal of like spending all the time looking at it, doing the research, being obsessed with it, not letting my kids touch it.
Yeah.
So it was the love of the purse.
The love of the purse. Yeah. You know, something pretty awesome happened in Raleigh, North Carolina this past weekend. In fact, yesterday, the Carolina Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup. And for those of the out there that understand that, you know, or don't understand, like, the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy in all the sports to win. I mean, it is a absolute grind. And a lot of things have to happen to win that cup. And I think a lot of times that's a lustful thing, that where we lust for this trophy, mm-hmm. you know, and it identifies us. And as we know, there's a strong identity crisis in the world of this type of thing for people, power, and possessions.
Yeah.
And although the Stanley Cup is not bad, I think the transition from the identity, just like you're talking about the Chanel purse, you want to identify with Chanel, the brand, which yeah. could have put you in this identity crisis of, this is who I am. This is who God created me, with this luxury brand. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing we can do with sports, where, yeah. you know, like, this Stanley Cup identifies me. Where I kind of look at it is, it's not the Stanley Cup, it's the peak performance that you're chasing to be the best version of yourself so that you can glorify the Lord with your talents and your abilities.
Yeah. You know? Had my friend Michael, I had him on my podcast, and he is a Super Bowl champion.
Okay.
And we talked about in his episode how he was happy for like a day, and then that feeling left, that thing that he's been working towards like his whole life. And then like he really realized, wow, if I have the Lord, I have everything, but I am not my achievements. I can't have my identity wrapped up in being like the Super Bowl champion or anything like that, because that excitement, that feeling will fade.
That's it. Terry Bradshaw, I think, won 3 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
First one, he was diagnosed as clinically depressed after he won it. And yeah. so he didn't know how to deal with it. So he basically went and won more. And he realized that that wasn't his identity over time, and, you know, was healed of that too. And this is back to, like, again, like, the fruits of the Spirit, reading the Bible, understanding who you are in Christ. That helps us be the antidote to these toxic motivators that are driving us. They're there, as we talked about earlier. They're there. They're there every day, just like stress and anxiety. And we have to learn how to manage them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to hear from you on how have you think you've been able to manage, you know, kind of like that Chanel purse. Because that comes up. You're a successful woman. You're got a great family, you know. And mm-hmm. How do you manage those every day?
I would say seek the Lord first. And if you have that quiet time with the Lord, and you're in, like, you're rooted in the Word, that's when you end up becoming more and more like Jesus. But if you start mm-hmm. to fade and become more like the world, then you end up wanting more of what the world has for you. Mm-hmm. And so just having that disciplined quiet time where you're spending time in the Word of God and in prayer, that's the number one thing.
What do you think in terms of the toxic motivator of fear, lust, anger, pride? Which one ensnares you? Which one gets you that you're able to say, all right, I'm not buying into this anymore?
I would have said maybe when I had the business pride, because I did have a lot of pride over being like the self-made millionaire, which is a whole bunch of BS, you know, of the pride of like being able to be in the like the higher level masterminds, the nicer, like having the nicer things, flying business class, like all of those things, having all the airline points. Yeah, just having the bigger business would, I guess, cause more pride. And then the Lord's like, nope. And so then I'm like, okay, well, I'm a child of God. I'm not a seven-figure business owner. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you still struggle with that today?
I don't think so. Because now we don't have the seven-figure business right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, not yet. If the Lord wants to bring it back and restore it, then I'll take it. And I think I've learned enough at this point that like it's him, not me. And so I can't have pride with anything that he built.
Yeah. So you talk to a lot of different entrepreneurs across the world, really.
Yeah.
And kids as well. What do you think is, you know, one that's the most popular out there that ensnares them?
Fear.
Fear.
Yeah.
In what way?
What holds people back, either fear of man. I don't think there's enough fear of God. I think there's too much fear of man.
Mm. We were talking about this earlier, like how much money do we think the world pumps into fear?
Mm-hmm.
And how much money?
Good enough. You don't look good enough. You won't be enough. Like you're not adequate. You need to do this. You need to wear this. You need to have this. You need to spend this. Like,
and if you don't spend this,
we live in a nice neighborhood. It's an HOA, which I hate now because they don't want us to have a basketball hoop. And I'm like, y'all, who cares? It's our backyard. Like, why do you care? It's a whole thing. But it's like one person does their landscaping and then like everyone's doing their landscaping because they want it to look nice like everyone else's. And I'm like, I don't care. But if they start giving me like citations, then I guess I have to change it. But like you just see like the whole keeping up with the Joneses mentality of like, we need to have this. We need to, these people have it, so I need to have it too. And I think if you can break that off of yourself, I think that's something like my husband has helped me with a lot. He's from West Africa. And so like after we got married, we just didn't buy nice stuff. Like we bought cheap used cars and we drove them until they couldn't drive anymore. And I think that's what helped us actually build our net worth is like we weren't buying nice stuff. It was funny. I made an ad on Facebook and talking about how we became millionaires. And someone commented on it of like, if you're really a millionaire, why do you have such janky curtains of like the curtains that I had in the background? And I'm like, on silly stuff like that. Like, that's how you become a millionaire.
Right. That's good. Years ago, I was working with a good buddy who started one of the largest modern anti-slavery organizations in the world called Freedom United.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a comparison on how much money is spent in child slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And how much money was being put into fighting against that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of actors and actresses and famous people that want to say, hey, I'm a part of it, but they don't really get involved because it's so awful.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had made these t-shirts. He figured out the dollar amount. So it was like something like $6 billion in the slavery world. And most of that is work slavery. It's not child slavery. It was like $6 billion, and the amount of money to fight it was like $200 million. And so the shirt on the front said, it's an unfair fight.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back, he had these, you know, dollar figures. And I wonder, like, how much money is spent on faith and how much money is spent on fear. And I'm wondering if it's...
Oh, yeah. Sure, it's a very similar ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an unfair fight. Yeah. And so I think, you know, just getting up every day and looking at these toxic motivators, you have to be mindful.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be mindful of what is really going on out there and get our noses in the Bible, right? Gosh. And get the mentors around. And this really, so I kind of want to ask you next is like this quiet whisper that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
That we're calling the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that every day? Like, what does your daily routine look like to hear from the Holy Spirit?
You have to get quiet. I've never had the Holy Spirit stop me when I'm scrolling my phone. Has not happened. So you have to get quiet and get rid of distractions. And so it could look like getting in my prayer closet, but it could also look like I've had the Holy Spirit speak to me very clearly when I'm just sitting out on my back porch, just like kind of staring outside and listening to worship music. Like I've had those encounters too. But it just comes with one, being intentional, I would say, and getting rid of distractions. So figure out like what is distracting you and seeing how you can get rid of it. I really think that's the hardest thing in like today's day and age, because everything is on our phone. Like yesterday I was going to a movie with my son and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna like leave my phone home and charge it and stuff. And then I was like, wait, the tickets are on the phone. I have to bring the phone. So it's like, we're like attached to this thing that's enslaving us in distraction when we're trying to break free of it. So
when you say it's intentional, you're leaving your phone or trying to, are you scheduling your quiet time?
Mornings has to happen in the morning before chaos and kids.
Chaos and kids. Like what time?
My ideal time is like 5 a.m. It doesn't always happen that way, but and like because my schedule kind of changes a little bit. So my son started doing training 3 days a week, where now we're leaving the house at 6:15 in the morning. And so I'm like, okay, how can I get this quiet time in either before or when I drop him off? Maybe I go for a walk and I'm like listening to worship and I'm seeking the Lord on my walk. So it might look different depending on the stage and circumstances of your life.
Yeah. 5 a.m. is you're going to bed at 7 at night, right?
8 at night. Yeah, already... 9, literally. Like, usually around 8:30, I'm in bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's discipline in itself of, like, you have to be able to say no to something so you can say yes to something else. And so it's like, no, I'm not going to just, like, binge watch Netflix at night so I can go to bed early and wake up early.
There's millions and millions of busy moms like you that are out there. You know, kind of some words of wisdom of somebody who's fought their toxic motivators and has successfully come through, what would you say to them? I mean, you talk to them every day in your podcast, but like, what would you say here?
I would say involve them in the journey. And so like my daughter will wake up and she'll come and find me in the prayer closet, or she'll come and find me reading the Bible, and then she'll grab her Bible and start reading it with me. She'll pray with me every night. It's wild. So I was teaching how to pray for healing at a local church, and she came and she watched. And I did not know this until we did. She's going into first grade. So this was her kindergarten year. I met the teacher for like her quarterly checkup, whatever. And the teacher goes, Gabrielle's our little prayer warrior. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, anytime someone doesn't feel well, they're sick, they have a boo-boo, they go to Gabrielle and she prays for them and they feel better. And even like some of the staff at the school went to told my husband, yeah, I had back pain. Gabrielle prayed for me and my back feels better. And so they pick up on stuff and they're watching you. And she didn't tell me that. Like, Gabrielle did not tell me. And when I asked her about it, she was so just like shy. And I'm like, baby, that's so cool. Like, that's amazing. We need to do more of that. So she's coming with me on a mission trip next month. We're going to Honduras together. But I'd say just get them involved.
Yeah. Why would you not get them involved?
Why would you not?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you think you're too busy.
It's not for them. They're too young.
Yeah.
They're never too young.
They're not. I mean, she's 5 praying and seeing people get healed.
Yeah. Get them involved. That's great. Yeah. All right. Any last minute words of advice on toxic motivators moving forward in anybody's life? I'll give you the last word.
I'll just reiterate what I said. Just continue to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Have that just be your foundation.
Yeah.
And then everything else kind of falls into place.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great words of advice and, you know, thinking about where you want to go and how you want to lead your family.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy to do, right? But intentional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be intentional for sure.
Be intentional. All right. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. This has been awesome. Discovering our toxic motivators. Thank you, Rachel. You're a blessing to me and this podcast and the rest of the world out there. So thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.